We're talking about lunch shaming on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Over the years, schools across the country have tried different ways to collect unpaid lunch money. Earlier this month, we saw a Rhode Island district abandon its plan to serve cold sandwiches to students whose families owe money. Here in Wisconsin, there is a bipartisan bill that would require schools to provide a school lunch or breakfast to a student who requests one and would stop schools from taking certain actions against students who are unable to pay. Were you ever denied a hot meal or shamed by your school for unpaid debt? What happened and how did it affect you? We're at 800-642-1234. Go ahead and join in. Republican Representative Gary Tauchin is from Bonduelle, representing parts of Brown, Wapaka, Shawnee, and Outagamie counties. He's introduced a bill that would prohibit schools from stigmatizing a student who is unable to pay for their meal or who has outstanding lunch debt, and a public hearing for this bill is set for 11 this morning at the Capitol. Representative Tauchin, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
And David Lee is here as well. He's executive director of Feeding Wisconsin. That's a statewide association of the Feeding America food banks, serving more than 750 agencies and 1,000 local food programs in our state. And he joins us from our studios in Milwaukee. David, welcome back to the program.
Good morning. So good to be here with you.
Well, Representative Tauchin, as we noted earlier, a public hearing is being held later today for the legislation you introduced. What was the genesis of you deciding to introduce this bill?
Well, there's been issues and problems around the state. This is really a national issue. It hasn't just happened in the state of Wisconsin. And there's thus far six states that have passed it: New Mexico, California, Illinois, Washington, Arizona, and Texas, and about half of the other states in the country have some sort of legislation pending. So people recognize there's a problem. In the state of Wisconsin, we have 421 different school districts, and each of them has their own policies. So I think, from my perspective, it's just very, very important that we feed children so that they can learn. And we have a free and reduced lunch program in the state of Wisconsin, but if people fall behind on their lunches, they're sometimes given, they have the trays pulled, they get a sandwich and a glass of milk, a different kind of meal. And I think it's important that we make sure that children are fed, that they're not bullied and stigmatized, and that we work together to make sure that they have the best opportunity to learn.
So when you mean getting their lunch tray pulled, it means that they're not being served a lunch?
Well, there's some places that have taken the tray away and dumped it and given the student a sandwich. So if they're fall behind $15 or $20 in payments, they're in a situation where they're behind, and some school districts have different policies. Some don't understand it as well. And so I think it's important that we standardize things and make sure that children get fed so that they can learn.
David, let's bring you in here. As you watch this issue of meal shaming across the country here in Wisconsin, what does it look like to you from your perspective? What are you thinking?
Yeah, so I think what's really interesting here is that, you know, all kids just want to fit in, right? And so at lunchtime, a highly social time for kids to interact with each other and sort of get their social and emotional learning on, to have a moment where they are singled out as being different from all the kids is incredibly damaging, right? So just a quick anecdote. At our annual conference earlier this spring, our keynote speaker, Sarah Smarsh, who is the author of Heartland, a memoir of working hard and being broke in the richest country on earth, shared an interesting anecdote about how shame sort of informed her fifth grade experience, right? She described herself as a young, confident, outgoing kid, but because her family was poor, they moved around a lot. And in one of those moves, there was a glitch in the bureaucracy between the Kansas school districts where she was growing up that made it so that she didn't qualify for the free lunch program at the new school that she actually was getting in the previous school. She was so keen to the shame of the fact that she had qualified for free lunch and her family was poor that she didn't tell anybody and didn't eat lunch for the rest of the year in fifth grade.
Oh, wow. How can hunger affect a child's ability to learn and to succeed in school?
Yeah, you know, I think Rep. Tauchin noted this earlier, but when children are hungry, they're less likely to be able to focus in classrooms and therefore less likely to learn. And, you know, they can be more disruptive, which takes focus away from teachers trying to teach other students. And overall, hunger has incredible social costs on children, and chronic hunger are barriers to them growing up healthy, which, you know, robs our state's children of their potential.
Talking with David Lee, he's executive director of Feeding Wisconsin, a statewide agency that serves local food programs, and State Representative Gary Tauchin, who recently introduced a bill that would prohibit schools from shaming students when their school lunch accounts are delinquent. Public hearing on that bill will be held later today. Do you see meal shaming as a policy issue where lawmakers should step in? How do you want to see lawmakers address it? What would you like to see in Representative Tauchin's bill that you think would make a difference? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Representative, in addition to barring schools from humiliating students for not having lunch money, your bill would also require districts to only communicate with parents about their accounts, and it would prohibit schools from adding collection agency fees to their bills. Can you tell us about that component and that impact there?
Right. Well, there's actually several different practices that this bill eliminates. One is pulling trays and dumping them. Requiring manual labor, providing a meal of inferior quality, requiring a child to act as intermediary between their parents and the school, and then publicly stigmatizing or shaming the child for not being able to afford a quality meal. So there's a lot of different practices that we want to make sure that are eliminated, because it puts the child in the middle. And these are kids, and all we want to make sure that we do is give them the best opportunity. And if people are stigmatized, if they're shamed and humiliated and embarrassed, that's not a situation where they're going to be learning nearly as well as they would had that not happened. So I think those are areas that we have to try to eliminate and then work to improve whatever system we have. If we have a statewide program and standardize it and there's problems with it, we can correct it a lot easier than having 421 different policies across the state that are inconsistent. So I think there's opportunities to improve, and I've actually got a couple of amendments that I'm looking at to try to improve the bill, and I'm willing to work with anybody to see if we can't make it better. But I think it really is important that we start somewhere.
We're talking about school lunch debt and a new assembly bill that aims to prevent what's known as lunch shaming when a student is unable to pay for their meal or has outstanding debt. The bill's sponsor, Representative Gary Tauchin, stays with us. David Lee is here. He is the head of Feeding Wisconsin. Your thoughts on meal shaming as we see this issue escalate all over the country? We're at 800-642-1234. Educators and administrators, how does this issue impact the students in your school? What kind of solution would resolve it? Where do you see gaps in the way current school policies address the issue of delinquent lunch accounts? And did your district find an innovative solution? Call in. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll get back to this in just a minute here in the Ideas Network. We're talking about student lunch debt and what's referred to as meal shaming. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. More than three quarters of school districts reported having unpaid student meal debt at the end of the 2016-2017 school year. And that's according to a report last year by the School Nutrition Association. And there's this new assembly bill in Wisconsin aiming to stop districts from calling out or stigmatizing students who have unpaid meal debt, among other things. Getting your thoughts on this at 800-642-1234. Are you a parent, or do you know a parent, perhaps, whose child was called out in some way for meal debt? What do you wish the school had done instead? Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings, and Representative Gary Tauchin stays with us, and David Lee is here as well, Executive Director of Feeding Wisconsin. Let's go to the phones now with Barry joining us from Spooner. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning. For the discussion, I've heard about the side of the bill that discusses the shaming of the children or the, you know, making sure that they get a lunch. But what about the other half of the problem, and what recourse will the bill actually provide to the districts to collect the debt that'll continue to grow if it's not enforced in any other way?
Hey, Representative Tauchin, your bill doesn't include funding for districts to enact the changes this is proposing.
So what we've done with it is allowed donations, gifts, and bequests to be able to use to cover the cost of student lunch debt. I also have an amendment that will be the actually 10th tax checkoff to be able to address. People will be able to donate whatever they choose. We don't have like $1, $2, or $3, but whatever they would choose to donate on their tax form for student lunch debt. So I don't know that I have all the answers, but there's been people around the state who have chipped in. They've recognized the problem in their local community, and one of the schools in Cudahy is going to be testifying today, and they've been able to cover the cost of student debt. So if administrators, nutritionists, and others have ideas, I'm willing to work with anybody to improve the bill, but I think it's important to start somewhere. And if you don't have a discussion and a debate and come up with compromises, you have nothing. So I think it is important to move forward.
Do you think donations from people, corporate donations as well, is that a long-term solution here?
Well, that's what I think in certain instances it's going to be very valuable. I think that the tax, having a checkoff on the tax form should be viable. But I do think that it really is important to make sure children are fed and not humiliated, embarrassed, and give them the best opportunity to learn and grow. So, there is no perfect bill. All we can do is the best we can do, and I'm hoping that we can work together to make this the best bill possible, but give children their best opportunity to grow.
Let's go to Bob now, joining us from River Falls. Hi, Bob.
Hi. I get angry now that I'm starting to listen to this. I was in elementary school in the early 1960s. This kind of thing was going on then. And it's just as absurd then. It was just as absurd then as it is now. These kids get marginalized. They get picked on by the other kids. I can remember like it was yesterday, feeling terrible for these other kids that were kept in separate categories, and they had to sit at a different table, and they weren't given seconds if there were available. They had extra food. It's preposterous in a country with so much food and wealth that a simple thing like this of making sure kids have something to eat in school without being victimized and bullied by the system is totally preposterous.
Bob.
And I think, and I just think that this is a pretty simple fix. I think, you know, and the idea that somebody even has to propose a bill to address this, it's just insane.
Bob, thanks for the call. I want to give this to David Lee. What do you see about the legacy of this problem?
Yeah, so I think Bob's comment is right on, right? I mean, the shame that some kids may experience due to this will last with them a lifetime. I think Bob's story is a testament to that. I think Sarah's story is a testament to that. But if I can just like loop back, and I think this will make sense. To the previous question, I think it's great to encourage the communities to step up to donate, and our network of food banks and food pantries depend on the generosity of our friends and neighbors every day. Overall, this is a good thing, right? However, at the same time, I don't know that that fixes the core problem, which is that families who may not qualify for the free lunch program and who are in the reduced price lunch program and who are, you know, also paying full freight for lunch at schools are balancing so many expenses that sometimes their children's lunch accounts go delinquent. Right, that there are so many families living in our state and who are working, but just not making enough money to get by or get ahead. And I think we can figure out ways. I think Bob is right. I think we can figure out ways to ensure that schools have all the food they need, all the funding they need to ensure that they can provide all the children having the essential nutrition they need to learn, grow, to learn and grow into healthy adults.
Let's bring in Sandy from De Pere to the conversation. Sandy, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I just want to say in De Pere, they go on, I don't know if other school districts do this, but they have white lunch bags so that if a kid, you know, doesn't has to or can't afford to pay for their lunch, they bring out the white lunch bag. It's a stigma. Everybody knows what it means. And half the times the kids wouldn't even accept it because they couldn't walk into that lunchroom with that white bag. So when I was substituting, I would always have a pack of brown bags that I would switch out the lunch. Mm. And then just tell the child that, oh, your mom dropped off your lunch.
So, Sandy, this is going on now.
Yes.
Representative, white lunch bags.
Well, you know, as policymakers, we don't know what each child's household situation is. And there may be health problems in the family. There might be financial problems. Could be drug and alcohol abuse or, you know, other issues that the family's dealing with. And, you know, before we can fill a child's mind with knowledge, we have to make sure they have a full stomach. So we just can't know everything, and we have to take that into consideration and make sure that we do all we can to help the child grow and be successful in the future. And this is one of those areas that we absolutely want these kids to feel good about themselves, and we don't want them bullied. I want them to learn. And we live in, and David mentioned it before, but we live in the Midwest, in America's breadbasket, and there is absolutely no excuse for hunger in children in their schools.
Let's go to Pat now, joining us from Chippewa County. Hi, Pat.
Hello, and good morning.
Good morning.
I appreciate the bill's author and people that are working hard to get at the root causes and to help kids, because you're right. Without healthy breakfast and lunch, it is harder to learn. I do want to say, though, that, you know, part of the root cause might be that bigger picture of if we accepted the Medicaid expansion money, that can help some of our families have more income, you know, to help in some areas. There would be a small number. But I think the other important thing to remember is we are also teaching responsibility, not through white lunch bags or stigma. That's not the way to do it. But helping kids understand that we do have to work together so that they can help themselves. With that, I know many staff who, like the previous caller, they work hard to make sure that the kids that are not able to get lunch and don't bring the lunch from home, that's another option that many families use, but that they do have a few extra things on their own cost. Grown-up put things into lunch bags for kids. So Pat, just wanted to share that comment.
Yeah, Pat, thanks so much for the call. And Representative, it sounds like Pat's saying this is going to take a village to solve this. Isn't a community approach here?
Well, I think she's absolutely correct. It really is important that we recognize that, you know, almost nobody is successful by themselves. They've got great mentors. They've got people that help them along the way, every step of the way. And I feel like all kids need that. And some kids don't have that because they've got a bad situation at home. There might be abuse or they might have financial problems, health problems, and those kind of things. And that really, there just is only so much money. And although we have a free and reduced lunch program, things happen that there just isn't money available. So I think we need to make sure that we get started on this problem. We know we're not going to be perfect, but I don't want perfect to be the enemy of good. So,
and David, I just want you to have the last few seconds here, your closing thoughts here on lunch shaming.
Yeah, I think the bill is a great start. I'm really looking forward to the hearing later today and excited for the possibility that this can move forward. I should also note that with summer approaching, the summer months really increase the risk of child hunger because the kids no longer have access to the school meal program, the school lunch program while summer is happening. So this is why the federally funded summer meal program is so important, and it will be kicking off in our state around June 10th, and families interested in participating should call 211 or text FOOD, that's F-O-O-D, to 877-877.
And we'll leave it there. Gary Tauchin, representative from Bondiwell. David Lee, executive director of Feeding Wisconsin. You're listening to the Ideas Network.